North Rock Podcast.
Let's jump into our message this weekend. We have been in a series for a couple months, and we're in the last 2 weeks of the series on freedom. You do not want to miss next week. We have a special guest. He is a member of our church council, Don Delos. He's here with us this morning. He's going to talk to us about financial freedom, freedom in our finances. You know, believe it or not, the Bible talks a lot about it. And so we're going to hear about that next week. I love Don's story. He actually worked for a company back in the day that kept people in debt. And they thrived as a company if people continued to be in debt. And he one day just realized, hold on a second. I am a part of a company that is putting people in financial bondage rather than freedom. So since then, he's been a pastor, a missionary, and he's very involved in financial aspects with some of the other things that he does. So he's going to talk to us next week about what that looks like. So please come and be here. I know that you'll get a lot out of that. So these past 2 months, we've been talking about freedom because this is a book on freedom. This is a book that was written to us on the freedom that God wants us to live in while we're on this earth. That God created us to be free. He created us to be wild, not the La Vida Loca kind of wild, but to not be held captive. If you think of animals, where are they most free? They're free in the wild. They're free out in their natural habitats. And when you put them, when you bring them, you domesticate them, you essentially take away their freedom. Well, what can happen in this world is we can become domesticated by this world. And we find ourselves not free anymore. We find ourselves captive to the things of this world. Jesus realized that. God realized that. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus. Luke 4:18, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." I think we have this on the slide there. Start over. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." Jesus came to set the captives free, and that includes you and I. He wants to release those that are oppressed. That's his mission. That was his mission here on this earth. Continues to be to this day. Matthew 11:28-30. This has become somewhat of a North Rock passage for us. It's something that we really believe speaks to our church and who we are as a church. And it's the message version of this passage. Listen to what it says. Matthew 11:28-30. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you." And then this last line just brings it all home for us. "Keep company with me," Jesus says, "and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." So this week, we want to look at what does a free person look like? What does freedom look like? Let's start by showing what a not free person looks like. This is what someone looks like that doesn't have freedom in this world. And let me be honest with you. I've been there. I've carried some of this luggage, if not all of it, at some point. How many of you can say that you've carried some, if not all of it, at some point in your life, some of this stuff? And this is not the way that God intended our lives to look like. In fact, this is a picture of bondage. It's a picture of being captive, held captive to these things. Might be consumed with worry or shame about what you've done or who you are. Sin, either current sin or from your past. It's led to guilt. There's hurts. There's hang-ups. There's habits in our lives. There's secrets that keep us sick. Resentments, unforgiveness of things that have happened in our lives. Guilt, these things where we feel it's not a godly kind of a conviction, but it's the enemy wanting us to feel bad about ourselves and beat ourselves up all the time. Guilt is one of those things where it's that guilt hammer. We hit ourselves with it all the time. I mean, this might be something that happened years ago. We continue to hit ourselves over the head with these things. Comparison, comparing ourselves to other people can hold us in bondage. And there's other things too, but these are just some examples of what a not free life looks like. So now the good news. I want to show you what a free life looks like. Let's put that slide up. This is what a free person looks like according to the Word of God. And we've gone through almost all of this. I shared with you, I've talked about each week being a piece of the puzzle. And I've encouraged you that if you miss a week to go back and listen to the podcast, because each week is a piece of the puzzle. And if at the end of this series, if we take all of these pieces of the puzzle and put them together, what we have is what I believe is a very beautiful picture of what a free person looks like, what freedom in Christ looks like. I see some people taking a picture of the screen. Please feel free to do that. For those of you that don't want to do that, take some notes, because I believe God really wants to speak to us this morning as we put all of this together and we see a picture of who God is and what he intends our lives to look like. We're meant to be free. We're meant to be free. We're not meant to be domesticated by this world and in bondage and slavery to the things of this world. So let's look at what a free person looks like, and we're going to try something different. We did this at the 9 o'clock service, and it actually went really well. I always say I'm going to do an experiment. If it goes horribly, we'll never do it again. But if it goes well, then we'll stick with it. So we're going to try something, and I need someone to help me, maybe Tyler, Elijah, whoever you want to hand that mic off to. What we're going to do is we go through these characteristics. Some of them we're going to go through really fast. Some of them we're going to stick on for just a couple moments. And you might say, well, I already heard this during one of the weeks. It's okay. God wants to speak it to you again as he continues to speak it to me, but he also wants to remind us of things. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that things that are really important are in there more than once? In fact, they're in there a lot of times. There's some things in the Bible that God must really want us to get it because we see it hundreds of times. So as we review some of these things this week, I believe God wants us to hear it again, maybe for the first time for some of you, but for some of us, again, because he wants, this is important to him. So as we go through these, we're going to touch on it just for a second, but I also want to open it up to you guys. What we're going to do is, as we're talking about one of these characteristics of a free person, I want to hear from you if you've had something happen in your life, if God has spoken to you about something in the specific area that we're talking about, if you have a testimony of a story or a story of something that God has done in your life in this area. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 9 o'clock, heard some incredible stories. There's really power in the word of our testimonies. The Bible talks about that, that when we testify, that there's power in that. So we want to hear from you. So you might be saying, I do not do good in front of people. Well, good news, you won't be in front of people. You'll be in the middle of people. We'll just hand you the microphone, and there'd be no fear at all. I get up here every week. You can do it too. And the Bible says if we confess God before man, he'll confess. If we confess Jesus before man, he'll confess us before our Father in heaven. So this is a great thing we get to do. So let's start first with a renewed mind. You guys remember that week, those of you that were here? Romans chapter 12 says this. It talks about not being conformed to the patterns of this world. So in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That being conformed to this world means that you are in bondage to the things of this world. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what God is saying is that don't become conformed to this world. Don't become in bondage and captivity to the things of this world. But instead, be transformed into freedom is essentially what it's saying. And it happens by the renewing of our minds, by changing the way you think, changing your mindset, getting rid of your stinking thinking. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? That stinking thinking that we wake up with so often. The Bible says that we actually can choose what enters into our minds. We get bound by thoughts that enter into our minds. We're consumed by worry, by defeating thoughts, anxiety, temptation, lies from the enemy. During that week, we talked about that the devil, when Jesus died on the cross, Satan was declawed and detoothed. Did I say that right? Detoothed and declawed. So all he can do now in our lives is gum at us a little bit and lie to us. That's the only thing that the enemy can do in our lives. And so when the enemy lies to us, we have the option of either letting it go in, because whatever comes in our eyes, the first place it stops is where? Your mind, your thoughts. If something goes in our ears, where's the first resting place? It's our thoughts. You can either let it stay there and grow and have an impact on your life, or you can do what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says to take every thought captive and make them obedient to the word of God. So when we take these thoughts captive, which we all have to do, it's the battlefield of the mind. We take these thoughts captive, and then we make them obedient. So they're lies, but what these lies then have to do is they're subjected to be obedient to what the Word of God says about us. The Word of God says something completely different than the lies of the enemy. We have the power that God has given us to take those thoughts captive. Philippians 4:8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Listen, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." So what we talked about that week is free your mind and the rest will follow. Remember that? Free your mind. Remember that? Those of you that were here, rest will follow. Okay. I didn't need to do that, but I wanted to. So that's what we're talking about, that it all starts with your head. You get your head out, the rest will come with you. We just had a little baby. We know this is true. You get the head out, the rest of the body comes with it. Now listen, that is what happens spiritually. If you can get your head out, if you can get your head right, then the rest follows. All right? I am so sorry that I just said that, Amy. I apologize. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't need to talk about that. All right. You did great, though. You're awesome. Yes, that's right. Actually, you know, I see a few babies in this room. All you moms that have babies, oh my goodness, you guys are awesome. You're my heroes. I didn't do a whole lot in that. But anyways, let's move on here. So in the renewing of our minds, I want to hear from somebody. I want to hear from somebody that has a testimony of, you know what, this is what God has done. This is how he's renewed my mind. He's given me a new mentality in life. If you wake up defeated and saying, oh, today's not going to be a very good day, nothing ever good happens to me, I'm just going to walk through life and just make the most of it, then most likely that's the way your day's going to look. If you wake up and take the words of Paul and you think on these things, what's true, what's lovely, what's admirable, what's honorable, all of those things, your day is actually going to be affected positively because God, you're allowing God to renew your mind with truth, with goodness. So who has a story in this room? Someone would be willing to get us started. You got to be bold and do it, but just lift your hand. Someone that has a story to tell of something God's done in your life in the renewing area. Not all at once, please. Please, we can only pick one person. We got somebody? Right on. Thank you. Thanks for getting us started. That's awesome.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Tell us your name.
My name is Aurelia. And I worked for a big corporation company and hated waking up in the morning. And, I freed myself from the bondage of, I would say, not financial, but just I got paid, three times better than I'm getting paid now. But I took a leap of faith, quit my job, and I'm working where I love to be, which is in the school system with the children. And I found it to be most satisfying and rewarding. And just I love waking up. I love going to work and starting each day right and in doing what it is that I love to do and what God told me I love to do and reminded me that I love to do because this is an area that I was at before. So, I started off there and I just... decided later on in life that other things, money mostly, to try to get more money, to make more money, and I've let that go. And I want to be just happy and then not only that, but make others happy and lead them to Christ and God and let them know the ways of God.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Doesn't it feel free to just let things go? Oh, love it. Love it. Love it. Number two, a free person is led by the Spirit of God, someone that walks in the Spirit. Galatians 5, Now, I put Galatians 5. That's the whole chapter. I hope that you don't just listen to this today. I hope that you take notes. I hope you write things down. I hope that you'll take this and pursue this and meditate on what we've talked about. I'd love for you to read Galatians chapter 5 on your own. Galatians chapter 5 is such a chapter in the New Testament on freedom, what a free life looks like. And what Galatians chapter 5 describes is a life of freedom, and then it tells us how that is possible. And it says by being led by the Spirit. We've talked about during this series that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. In fact, the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of us. We've also talked about 2 Corinthians where it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So let's put those two together. If the Spirit of God lives inside of us as believers, as those who have a relationship with God, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, then what does that mean? It means that inside of us, we have freedom. We have a Spirit that wants to lead us into freedom. Jesus, before he left this earth, he says, it's better that I go, because I'm going to leave you with the Comforter, your Helper, the Counselor. I'm going to leave you with the very Spirit of God that raised me from the dead. And so we all have that inside of us. How do we walk in freedom? We walk in freedom by being led by the Spirit of God. You might say, well, I don't know how that even works. How do you, like, channel the inner Spirit inside of me? No, listen, it's not about trying to channel it. It's about just letting him do what he wants to do in your life. You might, all of us can think of a situation where we're faced with something. We're faced with a decision, something we're about to do. And before you do it, you just don't feel good about it, right? It's like, oh, I just don't think that I should do that. I don't feel like that's the right thing to do. You know, if you have a relationship with God, that's the Spirit of God inside of you that's leading your life. Many of us, if not all of us, can say that we've done something in our lives, and later, and almost instantly sometimes, you're like, I should not have done that. You guys know what I'm talking about? Listen, I'm the chief of I should not have done that. And you're like, how do I know that that's not something else? That's not the best for me. The reason I know is because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. And the more that you begin to recognize that that's the Spirit that's speaking to you, that's leading your life, the more you realize that, wow, this is real deal stuff. This is supernatural. I don't want to live in just the physical, the natural. I want to live in the supernatural. That's where God really shows up and leads our lives. Number three, a surrendered heart. On your own, you can read Job 11, 13 through 15. But the more we surrender our hearts to God, the more we see freedom come in. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we talk about dependency, freedom and dependency. Let's go on to the next one, number four. A free person knows God and knows the truth. John 8, 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes. I mean, even people that don't know God know that verse from the Bible. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me tell you something. You can handle the truth. You must handle the truth. The truth is imperative, because if you don't have the truth, you're living in lies. And if you're living in lies, you're living in captivity and bondage. When truth comes in, it kicks lies in the face. It kicks lies where they need to go, and that's to the pit of hell, and it's replaced with a truth that sets you free. Listen, when you know God, you know the truth. Pursue in your life to get to know God and who he is. Because then you know that he is a good God, that he has plans for your life. When you know the truth, pursue this word right here, the word of God. You know, when I was young, in my late teens, when I rededicated my life to God, one of the first prayers that I prayed to God was, God, give me a love for your word. Let me love this Bible. Let me love what's in it. Let me love reading it. Because at the time, I could not stand reading it. I didn't know where to open up. I'd open up to a book of the Bible and understand it. But I said, God, give me a love for this book. And he began to do that, so much so that I decided I want to go to Bible college. I want to spend 5 years studying this Bible. 5 years, most people four, but it took me five. I want to spend 4 years, which I loved it so much that I turned it into five. Actually, if you know the truth, I got kicked out my freshman year. But that's a whole nother story. God is a God of grace, too. All right. So I did. I fell in love with this with the Word of God. God began to reveal himself through it. And for the first time in my life, as I started to dig into this, God began to bring freedom in my life for the first time. Do you know there's a passage in Psalms that says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's a passage on freedom. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might walk in freedom and not in bondage to the sin that can get a hold of me. The truth will set you free. I want to hear a story from someone in this room that would say, you know what, I've got something to say on that. I got a testimony of how the truth in my life, how God's word has set me free, how I've gotten to know God and the impact that that's had on my life. Anybody? 9 o'clock was way more ready to do this. Candace, all right, come on up here. Did I see another hand raised over here? You raised your hand. We'll do both of these here. We'll start with Candace.
Hi, guys. I'm Candace. And it's just amazing how...
Here, turn around, Candace. Everybody needs to see who you are.
Hi, guys. it's just been so clear to me. I've come from a divorce where I believed the lies that were spoken over me so much from my ex-husbands. And I believed those lies for a long time. But when I got to know my new wonderful husband, the father, he's just been speaking so much truth into my life about who I am. He's been speaking truth into my life about who he is, and that he loves me, and he knows more about me than anybody else. And he loves me, and he actually likes me. And that's just amazing to me, how much God has set me free through that knowledge. And no, it is not fun to be a divorcee. But at the same time, it's caused such a freedom in my life now that I see God for who he really is and don't rely on anybody else to tell me who I am other than the Father. One thing that has really helped me in setting me free is to memorize his word. Just to hide, like you said, hide that word in my heart. And I found such a new freedom in that. So thank you.
I love it. Thank you so much. So good. And I know Candace, she's what she's saying, I've seen it happen in your life, Candace. It's so awesome just to hear that. All right, you mind standing up and sharing with us? You can sit if you want to, that's fine. Just tell us your name.
Hi, my name's Chelsea. When I was a little girl, I loved church, I loved God, I loved Jesus. In Sunday school, I knew all the stories, which kind of probably got annoying for the Sunday school teachers, but... when I was about 13, I was raped. And after that happened, I kind of lost all faith in God. I stopped reading the Bible. I stopped talking about him. I stopped going to church, Sunday school, until I was about 17. And then I had to ascend up a mountain, and I'm terrified of heights. My harness came loose, and I realized that the only way I was getting up there was with God's help. There was no one who could help me, and my harness was loose, and it took all my strength, literally my entire body, to finally get up there. And it was just, for me, I realized that I had to lean on God. I had to depend on God to get me through things that people just can't do. And it was really freeing. Ever since then, I've refound a relationship with God and Jesus and tried church and everything. So,
awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Yes. Thanks for opening up about your story too. There's power. I bet there's people in this room that just listening to that, it ministers to you and just what you've gone through, what you're going through, and same with what Candace shared. Number five. This is good. I like this kind of stuff. I like this way more than me just talking the whole time. You're saying amen, brother. Number five, follows Jesus. You might say, of course, follows Jesus. That's everybody knows that. But let me tell you something. You can either follow religion or you can follow Jesus. Let me say that again. You can either follow religion or you can follow Jesus. If you follow religion, you're actually going to find yourself captive and in bondage to, a lot of times, to legalism, to rules without relationship, to trying to measure up to God and get him to like you by the things that we do. You know that relationship with Jesus is the opposite of that? The relationship with Jesus is about a God that pursued us. So it's about a God that came and died when we were not deserving of it, that took our place. It's about a God who offers something to us that we never could get on our own. You know, it's not about our performance. It's about what he did on the cross for us. It's about what he did. Now, do we walk? Does that mean we do anything we want? Absolutely not. We walk in obedience. We follow Jesus where he wants to take us. But there's a huge difference between being just a fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus. If you're a fan of Jesus, you're sitting on the sideline watching freedom happen. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the game. You're walking with him, experiencing freedom for yourself. How many of you want to just know about freedom? No. How many of you want to experience freedom? Absolutely. And the only way we can do that is we follow Jesus into it. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundant. When you have an abundant life, that's a life of freedom. It's a life of abundance, a life of abundant freedom when you're not held back by the things of this world. And you know what happens is you begin to, and this segues into our next point, but you begin to follow him to the poor, to the orphans, the widows, the prostitutes, those that really need you. When you follow Jesus, you actually become free to serve. And that's what the next one is. A free person is serving with love. Look at Galatians 5:13. I think we have this one up on the screen. Galatians 5:13. It says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. He's saying, don't just do whatever you want to do, because you'll find yourself in bondage if you do that. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up with this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you remember the story of Jesus talking about the Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan is in response to the question, who is my neighbor? Because when Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself is the greatest commandment, people are like, you mean the people to my right or my left, the ones that I live right next to? So who exactly is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. It's someone that wasn't even of the same nationality that this person comes across, and they'd been passed a couple times before. This person stops, takes care of them, takes them to the hospital, does everything that they need to serve this person in what? In love. That's what true freedom looks like. Why? Think about this. The other two people that walked by, crossed the road, and passed them by, they were religious people, the Bible says. Where were they going? They were on their way to do religious stuff. They don't have time for this guy. Are they truly free, or are they in bondage to something? I would say they're in bondage to something. There they are walking along. I got to get to work. How many of us leave just in time to get to where we're going? Probably all of us. I do, right? Just in time. You don't have time for people in need. What are you in bondage to? To the agenda, schedule. You know, sometimes I'll leave a little bit early just in case there's someone that might need me. So these people, they're walking along, and they see them like, I could stop, but then I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to be late for my religious stuff. So they cross the street and they pass by. Jesus tells the story of this one man that actually stops. And I would say that's the only person that was walking in freedom, because they were free to serve this person in love. They had freedom with their time, didn't they? They're walking along. Hey, I'm free. Woo! Oh, my goodness. There's a person that needs my help. Well, I ain't got nothing else to do because I'm free. I'm going to stop and help this person. This is what I've been called to do. I woke up this morning. I said, God, put someone in my path that I can help today. That's true freedom. And what did God do? He put someone in his path that he could help. That's what freedom looks like. We talked about it last week. There's millions of neighbors around this world that need us. We are God's plan A, and he has no plan B. That we have been put in this world to be the light in this dark world. That we are the ones that God has called to make a difference to our neighbors, those that need us, that are physically in bondage and slavery. We talked about millions of people that are caught up in human trafficking, that are orphans, that are caught up in poverty, which lead them to be exploited by those who look to them and exploit them to make money, to gain power. We are free to serve those people. We are free to serve those around us. When Jesus frees you from yourself, you become free to make a difference in this world. Think about that. When he frees you from yourself, you're in your little box. All you see is your problems. All you see is your issues. It's all about you. When he breaks you out of that, all of a sudden you begin to see the things that are going on around you, and God wants to use you, and that you're free to serve. Serving God, making a difference in this world, again, isn't your way to get God to like you. It's a result of the relationship that you have with God. You develop that relationship, and he says, hey, you're free now. Go serve this person. Go do this. Go do that. Be my hands and feet on this earth. So I want to hear a story or testimony in this area of someone here that God has done something in your life in this area. Maybe God has inspired you to make a difference in some way. All right, right over here. Awesome. I'm so glad that you're going to share with us.
Hi, my name's Anita, and I had a really rough childhood, and my desire, and God had always put it on my heart to have compassion for others, and mostly children, and I really, really wanted to work with children that were abused and sexually abused. That was my desire, and I did quite a bit of stuff for an orphanage, Mount St. Vincent, and I worked with the children there, and I loved it, and my heart was drawn to those children because I lived in an orphanage. Then God was working on me some more healing and everything, and I have become a special advocate for children. And I have this little boy that I have taken underneath my wing, and I just adore him. He has just given me such an inspiration and such love, and I don't want to see him stuck in the system. I don't want to see him living in a bunch of different foster homes. So I speak for him because he can't speak. And I'm totally blessed with it. I'm also working with human trafficking, and it has just been a blessing in itself also. We go to Streets Hope and work with the ladies there, and it has just been wow. And it's all through God. There's no way that I could do it. It is through him that he has blessed me with such a heart to give. And I was really, really sick for a long, long time, but with God's healing touch, he's really have done a miraculous change in my life, physically and mentally and emotionally, and I am grateful.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I know Anita and just her story, and it's just awesome to see the freedom of God. You know, you really are freed to be able to serve. You're freed to be able to love. And again, it's something that God brings freedom in your area, in areas of your life, in your life, to be able to make a difference. And it's an amazing thing to walk in that freedom. The next one is a free person. We just have three left here. A free person is dependent on God. I love this picture that we see in Isaiah 40:31 of what a life of trust looks like, and a beautiful picture of freedom. It says, but those who trust in the Lord, or those who are dependent on the Lord, will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know, we find freedom in dependency from God. We don't find freedom in our own independence. We don't find freedom in just doing our own things. In fact, that's the quickest way to get in bondage. We find freedom in dependency. We looked a lot during that week at children, didn't we? Because the Bible says, Jesus says, become like these little kids. It's like, why become like these little children? Well, I believe that there's no greater picture of freedom on this planet than little kids. I mean, look at little kids. You put them on a playground, and they're just free, aren't they? Not a care, not a worry in the world. I talked about my little four-year-old. She's in her own world most of the time. She never wakes up and is worried about our tax return at all. Like, she doesn't even know what tax return means. You understand? She's in her own world. She's free. Why is she free? She's free because she's dependent on us. She trusts us, and she just thinks everything's going to be taken care of. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, is don't worry about tomorrow. Is it going to add another day to your life? No. Look at the birds. I take care of them, don't I? Look at the flowers. I clothe them. How much more do I love you? How much more am I going to take care of you? It's that pure dependency on God that we can find, that trust, that knowing that he created us and he's going to take care of us. Now, does that mean quit your job and just don't do anything? No, that's not what that means. But it's in everything that we do, trusting him, being dependent on Him. The next one, this will be the last one that I'm going to ask if anybody wants to share on this, is a free person is free from this world. This is an important one. Again, we talked about becoming domesticated to this world, falling in love with things of this world. When we do that, what happens is we find ourselves not owning those things anymore, those things owning us, things of this world owning us, having control over us, running our lives. And 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our own achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." You know, Peter calls us aliens, doesn't he? Do you guys remember that week we talked about it? We're aliens. That's kind of funny, right? Like, this isn't our home. We don't get to take anything with us, possession-wise, material-wise, into eternity. We're just passing through. Now, we have a mission while we're here. Like, Anita has a mission while she's here. She's recognized what that is. We have a mission while we're here, but this isn't where we stay. This is a temporary place that God wants us to make a difference while we're here, but it's not our home. Don't get too comfortable here. Don't love the things of this world. The Bible says, set your heart on the things of heaven. Don't store up your treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, but set your heart on eternal things. There's eternal things all around us. There's relationships that are eternal. There's our relationship with God that we start here on earth, but it goes on forever. And it's easy here on this earth to get attached to this world. God wants us to live free from this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're here for a time, but we're not to get too attached and comfortable. We're not to love things of this world. The Bible says that the love of things like money is the root of all evil. So your heart begins to be pulled to the things of this world. And I'm telling you, one of the most free things in my life has been to just be freed. And you know, I don't know if it can 100% completely happen, but as God begins to free us from the love of things of this world, He begins to draw our hearts more to love of things that are heavenly, love of things that are eternal. So is there anybody on this one that would like to share with us? Awesome, right up here. Anyone else after she talks? We'll have time for one more. This will be our last one. Okay, awesome, right back there.
Hi, I'm Terry, and this is my daughter. And I praise God for her all the time. And I've struggled with free from this world a lot. I came to know Jesus when I was very young. And she has a twin brother. And we've dealt with addiction from the time he was 13. And he is now in state prison. But before he went, he came up this summer. And, you know, I would talk to him about God and, you know, pass along scripture, and you know, and at this point he was then into Satanism, and or saying he was to, you know, where's your God now, and it broke my heart, and I cried out to God, you know, where are you in the middle of this? Because when my son was real small, I prophesied over him, and I said, you will be a man of God. And then of course, as he kept growing and drugs moved in and overcame his life, it's, you know, it was very difficult to take. Well, while he was in jail, he started a Bible study and started reading the Bible, and that's in county jail, and he got moved to actual prison, and that's hard for a parent. You know, you love your kid, that's my baby. And he said, "I'm in school full-time, Mom," and he said, "and you're not going to believe this, but I'm taking classes, and I come out, I'm going to be an ordained minister." So,
awesome. Praise God.
So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited.
I love that. That's so great. Oh, love it. Love it. All right, and then back row over here in the hat, Tyler. Oh, he's got a Marked Men for Christ shirt on. This is a good thing.
Building stronger men for Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Actually, that's the reason why I wanted to speak right now, because I'm sitting there looking at all the ladies standing up and they're all speaking and sharing their testimony. And I wanted to speak and call the men out just a little bit.
Right on.
Why aren't we actually standing up? We got a lot of testimony to share. Amen. No, actually, that's the freedom that I have not being in this world. And I think part of it is being bold. I was raised in boys' homes, juvenile detention centers, foster homes, hospitals, stuff like that. And, you know, all the way up until the age of 18. And I think that I was pursuing this world. I was robbing. I was stealing. I was doing everything, hating people and pursuing a lot of the things of this world. And when I became a Christian, I was actually saved at the age of 18. Amen. But I just feel like God had reached me out because my whole family had a chance to be successful. We were all brilliant geniuses and everything else like that. And I wanted to pursue everything that I wanted to pursue. And I think the greatest gift that I had was not pursuing that, was not having everything in this world, but being able to put my heart, my life in Jesus' hands, to become dependent on him, serving him. By the way, I'm always nervous when speaking in front of people, so.
Doing great.
When you look at all the things that you're saying and everything, it's just learning that dependence that from what not pursuing every money, every dime, every cent, and pursuing my career and wanting an image for myself, but learning to lay my life in God's hands and say, God, I want to serve you. I want to be free from me so that I can love the people, so that I can love people, serving them, trusting that his word is going to lead me and the Spirit's going to lead me to love one another and not be taken up and consumed by things of this world. And I thank God for giving me that heart to not be held captive by those things.
I love it. Thank you so much. So good. And tell us your name. Dale. Everybody, this is Dale. That's so good. Ah, I love this. I loved hearing from people, and God is working. God works in people's lives, and it's so beautiful. Well, let me finish with this last one. We'll have the worship band come back up, and it's so appropriate because we're talking about a free person is a worshiper. Victoria, can I say something about you? Victoria is one of the most free-spirited people I know. She's just such an awesome person, such an inspiration, and if you ever watch her worship, and she used to play the drums up here, and just the freedom that there is, I just thought of you when I was thinking about this point this morning, just that isn't there something special about just worshiping God, and doesn't it seem like everything just kind of just leaves the room, and it's just you and him, and there's such a beautiful picture of freedom in that when we worship God, the Bible says that he loves it when people are together. It says where two or three are gathered together, there am I in their midst. It says that he inhabits the praises of his people. You know what inhabits means? He actually makes his home there. So you know what that tells me is this morning, God's ear just was kind of like, huh? What? I hear, no, Tyler just picked up the guitar. Lauren is on the keyboard. Well, she's not right now, but she was earlier. Northrock's getting ready to worship me. Northrock's getting ready to praise me, to use their voices to proclaim who I am. They're ready to sing to me that they want a relationship with me, and God gets so excited about that. And he is here with us. His spirit rests on the praises of his people. And the Bible says where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We should find freedom in worshiping God and proclaiming who he is. We were given voices, I don't think, to sing about my boo or whatever else people sing about. Jesus should be our boos, right? I don't even know what boo means, so I'm sorry about that. But we were given voices to proclaim who he is. Did you know that when you sing, God loves it? Those around you may not, but God does. You have a beautiful sound to him. And when we worship him, there is freedom that comes in that. I love the story in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 16, if you want to write it down, 16 verses 22 through 27. You know, the early church, they really had a challenge on their hands to change this world. God told them they were going to. He said you're going to go into all of the world, be my witnesses, make disciples. He said, you're going to change this world. But you know, there was so much opposition. They were a threat to the government at that time. So you know what was happening is they were being arrested, beaten, thrown in prison all the time. It didn't stop them. And there's this one particular story that I love in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas are arrested. They're stripped naked. They're beaten with wooden rods, it said. And they're thrown into prison. Now, if I got stripped and beaten and thrown into prison, I'd probably be like, God, where are you? This is not cool. But instead, you know what they did? They begin to sing songs, spiritual hymns, it says, to God. They begin to pray and worship him. Why? Because they were free. Even though they were in prison, they were free. And they begin to worship God. And I love the picture of freedom that happens after that. Literally, the gates fly open. There's an earthquake. The gates fly open. And now everybody in that room is free, physically and spiritually. Two things happen every time we worship God. Every time we worship God, these two things happen if we engage in what we're doing. A release and a revelation. There's always a release when we worship God. It might be the releasing of our worries, our anxiety, our fear. It might be releasing of things that are keeping us bondage, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So there's a release that happens when we really pursue to worship God. There's a release that always happens. There's also a revelation that always happens. It's a revelation of who God is. God is always showing us who he is in worship. He always wants to reveal himself. I love you. This is who I want to be in your life. This is what I mean. This is what I want to mean to you. This is who you are. And that's the other thing, is it's the revelation of who we are in Christ. And that happens when we worship God. And it doesn't have to just be in a group of people. It's anytime you're worshiping God, anytime you're resting with God. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Big mouth Terry again. As far as worshiping goes and the release, I can remember clearly I was on my way. It was early morning to go pick up my daughter from the university, and just praising the Lord and feeling his presence. And I missed a turn and went off of a cliff. And I should have died. I should have been dead. The cop said, you didn't even start to put on your brakes. I was so busy worshiping the Lord, I just, you know, what could I told him, no, I'm not suicidal. But when I got out, seat belts went off and the bags went off, I came out of there without one scratch, you know. And so the worship, it does, it sets you free. I felt no fear at that point in time, but it was.
That's awesome. What a cool story. A great story. Praising God. I want to praise him this morning. I asked the band to repeat one of these songs because I love the words of this song. And as we do this, will you just release everything that's on your mind this morning? Maybe you bring something that's just weighing heavy on you. Maybe there's some anxiety for something that you're going to face in the future. Just release that to God today and let him show you who he is. Show you how much he loves you, how much he wants to be a part of your life. So let's all stand together and let's pray. God, as we move into this final song, we want to be free people, God. We want to walk in your freedom, Lord. We want to walk in what you've designed our lives to look like. Not our own. We don't want control of our lives. We want to give you control of our lives, God. We surrender to you. We give all that we are to you this morning, as this song says. Continue to lead us and walk us into your freedom, God, into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.